Who created the first incandescent light? Edison is what you hear, right? Truth is, in 1802, a fellow named Humphrey Davy created the first incandescent light when he took a piece of metal and put it across, and it glowed for a few seconds, burned out. 1802. It wasn't until 1880 that Edison got the patent, not for the light bulb, but for improving the incandescent light to the point where it was commercially viable. You see, the idea of using electricity to heat up a wire or to heat some filament up and make it glow with light from the power of the electricity, that was from 1802. And for many, many years, almost 80 years, people kept working with that, trying, failing, doing different things, different people to make it happen. But the how eluded them. How do you make this work? How do I make this so that people can actually use this thing? That took a long time. Over the past couple of weeks, we've talked about preparing a people. Preparing a people. We've talked about why we should prepare a people. We're preparing a people because it's our duty. We're preparing a people because of what God has done for us. And so, in return for what he's done for us, we're helping others. But finally, we realize that in addition to both of those, we also prepare a people because we love those people. We want to do for them what's best for them, regardless of how they react one way or the other. Doesn't matter. We want to do for others to prepare a people. And we talked about who. We talked about that remnant, remember? We talked about the remnant, who the remnant was, and how you could identify the remnant. And we talked about some of the marks of the remnant people, that they were giving the message, that they arose at the right time, that they had the spirit of prophecy in their midst. And we talked about how this was, according to the signs that God has given, the remnant church. And so we talked about those two things. Today we'd like to think about how. Today we'd like to think about how. How do we prepare a people? How do we make that happen? How do we take someone from being in the world, fat and happy, or so they think, to being in God's people full of real joy? How do we make that happen? How do we make that happen? In earth's final hours and the battle about to burst upon us, let's look to the watchmen of old to see how they prepared their people. What were some of the duties of watchmen on the walls of Zion? What were their duties? Their first duty was to stay awake. They had to stay awake, didn't they? You're not going to see much. You're not going to report much. You're not going to do much up there if you're just sawing logs, right? You got to stay awake. You got to be able to be aware if something's happening. So you have to stay awake. Psalm 127, verse 1, unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman stays awake in vain, but he had to be awake. The Lord cooperates with us, doesn't he? He works with us. Isaiah 21, verse 6 says, for thus has the Lord said to me, go, set a watchman. Let him declare what he sees. Let him declare what he sees. In other words, they're supposed to take note and report if there's anything going on. They're supposed to keep people aware if there's trouble out there, right? And so the third thing brings us to warning those inside the city. And that's what our scripture was about today in Ezekiel chapter 3, that we are to warn people of impending danger. Makes sense, right? That's what they needed to do, to stay awake, to watch. They are, after all, watchmen, right? And to report if there's something going on. So those were the three things that they were supposed to do. Have you ever been really tired? Yeah, really tired, like right about now? You sounded so tired right now. Have you ever tried something like this? You ever tried this stuff? Tylenol PM. Tylenol PM. I guess Tylenol wasn't enough, so they PM'd it. They put some kind of sleep aid in this thing, right? So not only don't you feel any pain, even if you did, you weren't aware of it. Tylenol PM. I've never had any of this stuff. Never bought any of it. Believe it or not, I found this blowing down the road. Just out of somebody's trash, I guess. And you can see it's all bumpy and messed up because it was on the road and got run over a few times. Tylenol PM is just what you don't need if you're a watchman. You don't need to be unaware of pain. If there's something bad about to happen, you need to know it. You need to be ready for it. You need to be awake. Tylenol is not the answer. You need to be able to feel the danger. And then to put you asleep. Have you ever tried waking up from that kind of stuff that makes you sleepy like that? Whew. That's really hard. Taking some Benadryl. Doctor told me I needed it once for some allergies or something. I took this Benadryl. Yeah, man, it's like for hours, it's like, you know? You're just so sleepy you can hardly handle it, and you can't hardly pull your head out. It feels like always there's something in the back of your head that's just fuzzy and messed up, and you can't think straight, right? You know what I'm talking about? What about the watchmen on the walls of Zion? Let's take a look at Isaiah chapter 56. Turn with me. Isaiah chapter 56. Isaiah 56. Zion was in trouble. Verse 9, all you beasts of the field come to devour, all you beasts of the forest. They were coming to Zion, and the watchmen were on the walls. The watchmen were taking Tylenol PM. Verse 10, his watchmen are blind. They are all ignorant. They are all dumb dogs. What's a dumb dog mean? No bark. That's right. That's what it says next. They cannot bark. It's not that they're stupid. They just can't bark. They hear danger, but they don't say anything. They cannot bark, sleeping, lying down, loving to slumber, taking their Tylenol PM. They're sleeping at their post. Can you think of something worse than someone sleeping at their post when the city's under attack? It's hard to, isn't it? To imagine that there were people who needed to be warned, people who needed to know what was happening right upon them just outside the wall, and nobody would warn them. Somebody knew what the angels were delivering in their messages, and the world was unwarned. I visited someone in the hospital this week. It was a friend of a church member from another church. So I didn't even know the Adventist, let alone the guy I was going to visit. But I found something out about him. He knew about Adventists. Not only because of his friend, I guess, was his friend, but he knew something about us. He knew a little bit about Adventists and what we think and what we do and who we are and everything. He knew that we ate veggie burgers. Isn't that great? How come he didn't know that we have the everlasting gospel to preach to every kindred, tribe, tongue, and people? How come he didn't know the hour of his judgment is come? How come this man did not know that they should come out of her, my people? How come he did not know that we have a message that says that if we worship the beast and his image, we will suffer the vengeance of God's wrath? How come he didn't know these things? Instead, what he knew was, we eat veggie burger. As I got that message, I had to shake my head to clear the Tylenol PM cobwebs. In Matthew 25, we get the story about 10 virgins and they're sleeping. All 10 of them slept. 5 were wise, 5 were foolish. What made the difference between the two? One was prepared, right? One of them was prepared by having put off sleep a little bit in order to get that extra oil. Romans 13:11 says, now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. Do we really believe that today? No, seriously, think about it. I think in 1843 they believed that, didn't they? Didn't they believe that our salvation was nearer than when Paul believed back then? Yeah, I think so. Because they were pretty serious about getting this message out, right? They preached the first angel's message. The hour of his judgment is come. They were real serious about that, weren't they? And as the days got closer to when they felt that judgment would be finished, they got more and more serious about it, to the point where, you know, the story, some of them gave away their property and stuff. Hey, I don't need this stuff anymore. You want it? Sure, go ahead. Who cares? Right? They were serious. You give away stuff like that, man. Leave your crops in the field. That's nuts. I don't need to harvest that. I'm never going to eat it. Right? They were pretty serious people about it. What about us? I mean, how long has it been since then? Is there anybody alive still today that was alive back then? No, not one. Not one person is still alive. Not one person. Are you sure this is really going to happen? Are we really sure that the end is going to come? Maybe all things will continue as they always have since the fathers fell asleep, huh? Somebody please say no. Right? Are we able to stay awake even though the night is long? Can we stay awake? Can we continue to watch as those who are looking for the breaking of the day? Are we able to keep burning in our hearts the knowledge that the Lord is coming back? Are we Adventist? Or are we churchgoers that just happen to be a little weird and go a different day? Right? We're not really that much different than anybody else. We just go on a different day. But other than that, it's all pretty much the same. Is that really us? Is that us? Back to Isaiah chapter 21. Isaiah chapter 21. When the watchman was standing his guard, and he was awake. Sometimes people would come to them and say what it says in verse 11. Isaiah chapter 21, verse 11. The burden against Duma. He calls to me out of Seir. Watchmen, what of the night? Watchmen, what of the night? What time is it, watchmen? How close are we to the dawn? Are we near? Are we getting there? What time is it? Where are we? Where are we? How close? How close? What time is it? How long before the dawn? What do you see, watchmen? What's coming out there? What's coming? Are we able to report what's coming? Are we able to tell from prophecy those who are wondering as they question? You know, they read books. They hear sermons. They hear stuff about what's coming in the future, about prophecies of, you know, the temple being rebuilt and literal temple and literal Jerusalem being rebuilt. What of the night watchman? Can you report? Can you point them to the scriptures that tell them what of the night? That tell them how to find where we are in prophetic history? Can you do that for them? We went over that in our Bible studies that we did a few weeks back. If you want a copy of those chain Bible studies, I can give it to you. We made that clear for people how to do those kinds of Bible studies, to take them through that kind of thing, to be able to tell them where we are in prophecy is part of how we prepare a people. But can we also discern the signs of the times? Have you been keeping up on what's going on in our world? 16 days ago. 16 days ago, a lady named Judith Shulevitz. Anybody heard of Judith Shulevitz? A lady named Judith Shulevitz, on April 1 of this year, 16 days ago, went on the Colbert Report talk show. She is a Jewish writer. And she's written a book called The Sabbath World. She went on to say that she wants our country to protect Sundays. Oh, yeah, as a day of rest. I'm reading from an interview of her back in February 1st of 2009, an interview of her on CBS. Charles Osgood interviewed this lady. Judith Shulevitz, the article says, wants to keep Sundays timeless. In a world of 24/7 commerce, she's pushing for a return to laws that would shut down businesses one day a week. Charles Osgood asks, so in this campaign, where do you even start? Gotta like that, huh? She says, I don't pretend to have the answer in terms of legislation. I just start by trying to point out the benefits and just say, let's remember the Sabbath. Let's remember what it did for us in the past. What did it do? Let's see. What did it do? Are we sure we want to go back to what it did do? Taking people to the stake. And let's think about what it could do for us in the future, Shulevitz explains. And then it's interesting how the article ends. Are you ready for what the article ends with? Now, this is the author of the article. CBS writes here, which brings us back to the Puritans of the 1630s. Their measures may now seem extreme. Extreme? Yeah, you weren't supposed to kiss your baby on Sabbath. Sabbath, on Sunday. It was illegal to play a musical instrument. Sorry, Aaron. We're going to lock you up now. Yeah, their measures may now seem extreme. And then the author asked, the last part of this article says, but what if they were actually onto something? Secular. What if they're onto something? Where are we in this earth's history? Where are we today in what's going on? Can we see the signs of the times because we have read the scriptures and now we're seeing that fulfilled as we go through our lives? We're watching the word of God being fulfilled before our very eyes. God is busy here. And so, what did in Isaiah chapter 21, what did the watchman reply? Isaiah 21 verse 12, the watchman said, the morning comes and also the night. If you will inquire, inquire, return, come back. The morning comes and also the night. Yes, both of them are coming. The great dawn of the resurrection morning, praise God, it's coming. Praise God. And yet also the night cometh when no man works, when probation will be closed. The morning cometh and also the night. Are you able to tell the nearness of time? And there's more. Revelation chapter 7, verses 1 through 3. How else can we prepare a people? How else can we prepare a people? Revelation chapter 7, verses 1 through 3. Revelation 7, verses 1 through 3. After these things, I saw four angels standing at the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, on the sea, or on any tree. Then I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God. And he cried with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was granted to harm the earth and the sea, saying, "Do not harm the earth, the sea, or the trees till we have sealed the servants of our God on their foreheads." You see, there is a work to be done here while the four angels are holding back the winds of strife. There is a work for us to do. To cry out as this other angel does, to say, hold back until we have sealed the people of God, until we've prepared a people. Hold back, brothers and sisters, we need to be praying. We need to be a praying people, moving with prayer the arm of omnipotence, that God will answer our prayers and hold back those winds just for a few more years so that we can be out there delivering the messages of the three angels. We need to be a praying people. With that in mind, I would like to invite you on Wednesday mornings. I know most of you are at work, but those of you who are able, Wednesday mornings, I want to open our church for prayer right here, to be a praying people, to be God's angel, if you will, to plead for the work that's going on in Lakeland, praying Wednesday mornings, 9 o'clock. Wednesday mornings, 9 o'clock, I'll be here. If you would like to pray and be a part of this work, to be the watchman, to be the one doing God's work, 9 o'clock right here. I know most of you work. That's cool. I understand that, and that's all right. But if you can be here, maybe evenings are not so good for you. Maybe a morning time to pray would be better. Come Wednesday morning. Then it's 7 o'clock Wednesday evening, right here, we will have prayer meeting. Prayerful prayer meeting, right here. And so we want to be a people of prayer, praying for God to work in our city, to work through us, that we might be the watchmen, that God will be here among us, so that those in Babylon have time to be warned to come out. And so that's the third idea. The watchman has to be awake. We need to be watching what God has told us. We need to be out there doing what God has asked us to do, ready to answer for our faith, to answer the question, what of the night? To be watching. And then, finally, we need to be ready to warn those in the city. The warning to us today, the warning to us who sit here in this church today is like to that of the 10 virgins. To not wait until the cry, that midnight cry goes out, "Behold, the bridegroom cometh." If we wait until then, it is too late. Brothers and sisters, the most critical thing in your spiritual life right now is that you are part of the prepared people, ready for the coming of the Lord. That's what I want to tell you today, that we cannot wait. We cannot look for signs. They're all around us already, as I have mentioned. I could tell you other things that just... Did I say yesterday in Sabbath school this morning? Yesterday, I read another article about persecution that's not religious, but restricts freedom of religion. But it was for public safety. I can show you the article if you'd like to see it when you're done. We have these things all around us. We don't need to wait for prophecy fulfilled. Prophecy fulfillment is waiting for us. We need to come closer to God. The warning is for us to prepare today, to get the oil in our lamps today, to be ready to meet the bridegroom when he comes today. That is what we're ready to do. And Jesus concluded that parable of the 10 virgins with a very interesting word. Are you ready with the word that Jesus concluded that parable with? Watch, he said. Watch, therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming. Watch, Jesus said. He knew we were watchmen. He knew what we were to do. And so we are to watch. And we have a message that these angels have given us to call those out of Babylon. Who are we calling out of Babylon? Who are we calling out? The Babylonians? No. We're calling God's people out of Babylon, right? God's people sit here before me, but there are also God's people out there living up to all the light that they have. And we are to call them, come out. Come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins. Come out. Which is to say that we are warning them, right? The watchman gives his warning to those who are already inside the city. I'm not suggesting that they are, you know, doctrinally sound. I'm suggesting their heart is right with God. And if their heart is right with God, then our warning is to them as well. We have a work to do warning them. And so we are calling them out of Babylon. Jesus said in John chapter 10, 16, and other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they will hear my voice. Where are they going to hear Jesus' voice? Because we eat veggie burger? Because we have the three angels' message here and now today. That we are faithful to our duty, that we've let go of the Tylenol, the anesthetizing allurement of this world, and we've come true to God. And we're at our post. We're watching carefully. We've let go of those things. And the sheep hear his voice, and then there will be one flock and one shepherd, you see. We're all working in this together. All together. So, my people, I will not leave you unwarned. Not on my watch. How do we prepare our people, including ourselves? First, Where is it? We throw away the Tylenol PM. We get rid of the world. Too much of our time, our energies, our focus is all in there. We're way more interested in what's going on Lost than we are about the lost. We got to let it go. We got to put these things aside. There won't be, sorry to say, HD TV in heaven. No 1080p. Not going to happen. We need to let it go. I'll bet there won't even be Gators football. Ooh. Ooh, now I'm in trouble, huh? No Texas Longhorns either, I'll bet you. Hate it when that happens, don't you? We need to let go of the world. It's not about the stuff. It's about who we're in love with. It's about being in love with the master of the universe. It's about Jesus and what he's done for us. It's about loving others as we love ourselves. This is about being about our Father's business, being changed people, changing Lakeland. That's what it's about. Let's throw away the Tylenol PM. It's being ready to answer, what of the night? Watchman, what of the night? And being able to say, praise God, the morning cometh. And also the night. So, we have a glorious prospect, the morning cometh, but be warned, the night also. The morning of the resurrection, but the time when no man can work, both are coming. Both are there. We need to be ready to answer, to know the prophecies, to know the signs of the times. And finally, we are to warn God's people. And too often we approach that to say, we need to warn these people in the pews. We're all the watchmen. We're talking about warning God's people that are of those other folds to come out of Babylon, to be not partakers of her sins, so that we are not partakers of her plagues, to not take the mark. That is where we're supposed to be warning. That's what we're supposed to be doing. And yet we want to sometimes snipe and say, well, Babylon is here, and you know, this is not God's church anymore. We need to call people out and forget all that. We've already shown who the remnant people are. They have the message of God. We're going out to deliver that message. We've put aside the petty things of what's important to us personally and who's important and who's got this and who's doing what and did you see that? Forget all that stuff. Press toward the mark, brothers and sisters. God has a people dying out there to know what's just over the wall. What's happening out there, watchmen? What's happening? It's our job to lift up the trumpet and give it a certain sound. Come to Jesus. Come back to him. Come to know him fully and to follow him completely. That's our job, watchmen. That's who we are. That's how we prepare a people. And so today, I invite you to recommit to being the watchman, to being God's person, standing on the watchtower, listening for the cry, watchman, what of the night? And be ready, ready to give an answer. The morning cometh, praise the Lord. Jesus, my fellow Adventists, is coming again. What a beautiful message we have. What a beautiful time it is to be alive. We can be God's watchmen. And now we've talked about why we do it. We've talked about who we are. We've talked about how we do it. We're ready. We are God's watchmen to deliver His message. Are you up for it? No, I mean, are you up? You know? Wake? Are you up for it? God has a work for you. Let's pray. Our Father and our God, as we look at this wonderful thing that you have given us, this opportunity to warn people of the coming judgment, of the judgment that nay is here, Father. We ask that we may understand the solemnness of this time that is before us, that we may put aside our slumber, that we may wipe the sleep from our eyes, that we may put aside the drugs of this world's inducements, and that we may come clean to Jesus. Father, that we may be watching unto prayer, and that we may be ready to tell others, come to Jesus, come to Jesus. Here's how to follow Him, to keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. Father, I pray that you will be with us as we commit ourselves to this work, as Seventh-day Adventists, as God's people in Lakeland, as a changed church, Father, changed by your Holy Spirit, reaching out, changing Lakeland. We thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.